a dream illusion, but a dream of walking the rest of this life in a state of co-creation.
Yes, absolutely. We call that self-authority.
Uh-huh.
Walking in self-authority.
Mm-hmm.
Of the self, the I am, the true essence, rather mm-hmm. than at the affect of some of the stories or the beliefs, the domestication that makes you feel small,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or you feel contracted, mm-hmm. or you feel self-doubt or not trust.
Well, it strikes me that what a shame, and that's not the right word, but I got to use it because it's all that's coming out, that this kind of self-empowerment was suppressed so
yes.
vehemently and violently by the wave that washed around the globe of conquest that essentially came from an out of balance. And I am one of those descendants of out of balance white people. And it's not just white people, but just an out of balance of wanting to dominate rather than liberate.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear in your words is all about self-liberation and thereby mm-hmm. liberating and being a tool to enable everyone to self-liberate.
Absolutely. And historically, even some of these challenges and conquests still contribute to the evolution of consciousness, you know? And a lot of times we see incidences in history and they are painful and people did die and they did suffer
mm-hmm.
and it played a part in some way to rise us to power, to deeper love,
mm-hmm.
to a higher level of benevolence,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to a higher form of prayer,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to bring us all forward.
Again, it's how you transform it, alchemicalize it, how we perceive it from a place of empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So what were the teachings that we learned when the people, when the natives were being killed, you know? When my family came here, where they assumed the identity of a Mexican because it was better to be a dirty Mexican than a dead Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And so my family went underground in terms of identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because it was so internalized,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what did we learn from it? A tremendous amount of...
Well, I'm bumping up against one of my deeply entrenched mental habits is to look back in history and go, oh my God, that was so bad. Now just everything is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And in truth, it's not. It's exactly what you're saying. There's a lesson in everything that happens, including anything that I might judgmentally
mm-hmm.
label as horrific or et cetera, et cetera. What's the lesson? The lesson is just what you said, that right, it brought us to right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an evolution.
Yeah.
It's never going to be done. It's always going to be evolving. And so what can I do today?
Yeah. Right.
Instead of saying, oh my God, look at what has happened. This is outrageous. That stops you. You can't go anywhere with it. So what is going to be happening through the next 2 years? I just want to get back.
Oh, sure.
Those teachings so people have an idea as to what it is.
I was ready to go down that path a little bit more, too.
I know. Me, too, but I just
maybe
realized
we can do,
okay.
Maybe
don't
we can do everything, but actually the nuts and bolts information about that.
But this is what it is.
Interesting. Actually.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Because we're talking about looking back at the
it's
history.
True.
And what it is what it is.
It is
and,
what it is.
Yeah. And we can't judge it.
No.
Because it was perfect. Perfect in that it is the sum total that led us to now.
Right.
And so, again, mm-hmm. acting on choice and self-authority,
mm-hmm.
what did we learn from that experience?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
those
time is the illusion.
Key.
You spoke about that as you were closing the last segment. Mm-hmm. Time is the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing now in our personal healing work, we are healing the past, and we're laying the groundwork for the, future,
the future
in the present.
Yeah.
Right.
So we are healing that.
Right. Right.
And it was a shame, and you know, and
in the process of the work that you're doing now, it does change the past. We're here alive presently, and we're a conduit between the past and the future.
Absolutely.
As we live now,
right.
In our choices.
And I'm not going to divert you from getting back to the nuts and bolts too much longer, but it's more like time is not a linear concept.
No, it's
solely.
Not.
It's more
mm-hmm.
like a topographical map.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go, if you know how to do it, you can go to any of the coordinates on a topographical map and work. And
yes
you can.
Yes, you can.
That's true. So what is it? What are people going to experience there?
Let's see. What are people... that's a rough question. What are people going to experience? Let me put you in a box and say, this is what you're going to experience.
Oh, what could they expect?
Magic.
What could they dream?
What could they dream?
Yeah, what could they dream?
So there's a basic structure, like I said. So we'll gather. We have meals together. There will be some training. So they'll be introduced to... different wheels, and there will be a sequence of them.
Well, starting with the sun, how do you start to...
That's not one of the wheels. That's one of the relatives. Okay.
So in the circle, where it's number one, what are they going to learn about the sun? Can you give us a little?
Let's see.
The sun is number one.
Well,
for a reason.
Nothing will live without the sun. Nothing. And being in form are physical manifestations of light. And when you examine ourselves, we are made of light. Period. We are light. All forms of matter are contained, are made of light. Hence why we sun dance. All life.
Right.
We honor the sun. And that fire, that spirit, that all potential, that transformation.
And that fire comes from the sun, ultimately.
And there that's
no
the sun in our universe. And we have all of the stars in all of the universes. I mean, our sun is one that we recognize and remember and know with our limited, right now, use of our perception. There's all kinds of universes and all kinds of suns and all these dimensions. We're primarily focused here. So people's journey with their relationship with the sun is unique. And there's a general pathway, but what they get from growing their relationship with the sun is unique. So the three of us can listen to the same song and we're going to have different experiences. So asking me what they're going to get, I would be unique to the individual and to where they are in their life. And how open and how willing they are to do their internal work. Because it requires some dedication and acquiring some self-discipline to keep showing up for yourself. This is about your self-love, true love of yourself.
So starting with the sun.
That's
number
one place.
Two, plants.
I would say...
I don't know that we would go through the whole 20 count right now. I don't think that we could... I could give a teaching in 26 minutes of the 20 count.
I want to get a flavor for the teachings.
Okay. The second, number two.
Earth.
Yes, it is. There was a dance between the sun and the earth. And we have the plants. And then the sun and the earth dance together again, and we have the animals. And they dance together again, that great Wakan Sisquan, the masculine and the feminine. All things rise from the feminine, that great void. And then we have the sacred human. And then we go on.
Cinco.
The five digits. We are the sacred human.
And they all have a different perspective, but they coalesce together.
All of what has a different perspective?
Each element of the wheel has a different perspective.
Each of the 20 count, yes. Yes, they have different intelligences and that they teach and inform the conversation of our universe in their own unique ways.
I have a caller coming in here.
Okay.
A second. Continue.
So, what I would just... Now, earth, sun, earth, air, water. Now, you started off with sun, earth, and then
plants.
A dance, plants, and another dance, animals, and then a third dance, sacred human.
And it continues on, but I'm going to...
Yeah, of course, we can't go too deep, but so the third dance, was that a transformation of the animals into sacred human, or was the third dance actually a creation of
a completely different intelligence? So... When I spoke earlier, the 20 is actually the Wakan Sisquan, which we understand as the Great Spirit. The Wakan is the feminine void, right? And she folded in upon herself, and she created Sisquan, the lightning bolt, a manifestation. Mm-hmm. Hence the sun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the feminine is all potential, all of life.
And the feminine needs to either create the masculine or have the masculine in order to manifest.
Yes, the masculine manifest is masculine. Mm-hmm. So the feminine is the becoming, is the being, mm-hmm. and the masculine is the becoming.
Mm-hmm.
So there are actually two different realms. We're going to go really deep into the 20 count. but these aren't all of the wheels. This is mm-hmm. like what this is the foundation where mm-hmm. all the wheels arise above, mm-hmm. arise out of the 20 count.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So these different intelligences coalesce together and in conversation have different expressions and are different maps mm-hmm. to the universe and being in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the introductory weekend, they'll be introduced to the 20 counts and what they teach
mm-hmm.
as an intro. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the individual to seek into it because mm-hmm. it's not a brain activity.
Mm-hmm.
We use your brain because, well, that's one of the ways that human beings really identify and over-identify with their brain is their primary mm-hmm. way of processing information. Mm-hmm. And it's not. I mean, yeah. it's a tool we have, but that's not who we are. And so being in relationship with the 20 counts and being in relationship with the relatives requires you, the individual, to bypass their brain and to recognize mm-hmm. the other parts of the self that are in this conversation.
It is one of the aspects of addiction in our culture or this culture of the mind. It's
yes.
like when you think of being constantly stimulated by TV, video games, music, et cetera, never giving space for the mind to just... not mm-hmm. think
right.
or not receive.
And, right.
mm-hmm. and so what you're talking is the other ways that we have of being present and
yes.
and absorbing information and
absolutely.
Also communicating mm-hmm. information.
Absolutely. And a lot yeah. of times one of the things that happens is that we are at the affect of our thoughts. There was a bumper sticker. It's like, don't believe everything you think, you know? And so a lot of times we have these thoughts and then it has an emotional impact on us and mm-hmm. we go into this hamster wheel
mm-hmm.
of our own thoughts.
So
and that's not being a conscious
it.
Dreamer because what is the source of those thoughts? The thoughts are also stories or mm-hmm. experiences that still exist within the circle that mm-hmm. haven't been fully healed mm-hmm. or haven't been released or transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it still keeps running us.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the restructuring work is to recognize what is that story that is still running in you that needs to be healed, that you can do that work so that you can author your thoughts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you speak affect, you are as opposed to effect. When you say affect, you really mean effect. You mean our thoughts affecting the world
yes.
that we're in.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I also see it as being an effect, mm-hmm. being impacted by
absolutely.
Them.
It's both.
Both.
It's totally both. I mean, because that's some of the... when we want to...
You can't
avoid
that.
That's the whole
that.
Thing about the meditation and going into the yeah. stillness is to master your mind because mm-hmm. you're not your mind.
Right. And if being mastered by one's mind or letting the mind run the show, there's a word I learned in English, autocatalytic thought.
Right.
Where
yes.
the thought just... Mm-hmm. The thought stimulates the thought, which stimulates the thought
yes.
and just...
Right.
That's
right.
That's
not self-authority.
That you're circumventing.
No, that's
right.
being not a conscious dreamer.
Exactly.
That's the antithesis.
Because we're in because we are in conversation, when we are caught in that tape mm-hmm. running, mm-hmm. that's what we're creating in our reality. And that's why we keep experiencing patterns. Because that's the energy we're putting out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
I'm worried about money. Oh no, I'm worried about money. Hello, I'm worried about money.
Well,
the whole culture's worried about money.
Right,
and it has
and so,
been time and time and time again.
So you
and we
up
are
those
so
yitties.
Powerful in relationship and the universe will respond. Yes, you are worried about mm-hmm. money. Because there's no judgment about it.
So that's what yeah. you want to create? Okay. Play with it.
World.
But what I see with these teachings is you're no longer, if you do the work, at the effect of what's going on around you. You can stand back and you can regain your own authority and choose for yourself where you want to go.
Yes.
In that dream.
Yes.
And that's the value of these deep teachings.
Absolutely.
That
and
are
it requires
ancient.
The work. Yes.
It does. And I believe that for centuries, that is how we lived as human beings with all of our relations. What we're experiencing now is relatively recent. We don't know that.
Right.
But I suspect that it really is.
Right.
So this is a way to regain that authority
mm-hmm.
and true leadership where it's not power over, it's not submissive, It's sharing. It's empowering.
Absolutely.
And that's what, and it's beautiful, Rita. And I really want to thank you for doing the work that you've done on yourself, your transformation, and bringing it full circle back into Santa Cruz and offering it.
Mm-hmm. And I want to throw in right now that you folks can't see this woman, Rita, but you're just the way that you are.
Oh, yeah.
Is you have very strong presence, and you're just...
she is.
Truly. And it also strikes me, I did not know who else was going to be on the radio today, but what you're talking about is just completely linked up to the first part about the Declaration of Indigenous People, about re-empowering our own sacred selves and taking back the power that we have either consciously or unconsciously given away to religion, government, or
it's
culture.
It's time, as you said.
Absolutely. That's what we call the domestication. It's like, let's be undomesticated spirits again and choose and be in right relationship and be in wholeness.
Yeah, and the thing that's so scary about that to the authorities is that you can't predict what's going to happen then because we're undomesticated.
And that's why
we're undomesticated.
These teachings have been not shared, actually suppressed and distorted.
And what you said...
And there's been a separation.
And it is short-lived phenomena, the kind of culture that we're in today. We're talking, Rita spoke 35,000 years, and the cultural phenomena that really has been up against us recently is maybe a couple thousand years old, or maybe four. But here on Turtle Island, 400 years, you know, which is not very long. And once again, the whole time thing is...
So when we spoke about the clash of cultures, that's exactly what we've been experiencing, a clash.
And we don't have to clash no more.
No.
No. And yet the culture at large, what we're living under now, cannot exist with free beings. So there has been...
Evolution, transformation, the culture, the culture... If it tries to hold on, it's still going to transform. It's all going to evolve. And I liked what Flavio said, the Ecuadorian man, about that he's for development, but he wants development with a thousand-year plan.
Indigenous development.
A thousand-year plan. And
as opposed to
with
mining
everything.
And oil industries and,
and
timber industries, that aspect of development he was referring to.
Instead of having the corporations dictate that everybody is in the mix, that you don't disregard any one of the undomesticated free spirits.
Right. And so the council guy training is a way of looking at the wholeness in making any decision. So, you know, we talked about the personal work, but it's a leadership. So it's inner leadership, which we're calling self-authority, right? And freeing yourself from those tapes. And it requires work. So that needs to be understood.
Sure does.
It's self-discipline. It's self-commitment and
love.
You
don't sit in front of the television and soak it in. You've got some deep work to do. You've got to delve deeply.
And it's also what you bring out into the world, you know? I mean, I use these tools with my staff at work in any group. You know, any group that I'm in, you're knowing how to read energy, and you're knowing how what's needed, what's trying to happen. What is the group bringing forward? And what does each individual want to bring in? You know? So the leadership is being able to watch the whole field of energy and to be listening on different layers about what's trying to happen and what's trying to come through and to help facilitate that.
And that's the true leadership that allows us to start transforming our dream.
Yes.
This dream, we're all in it.
Right.
It's where do we want it to go.
Right.
And then I would imagine that you'd start sharing with others that share your dream, just coalescing, magnetizing together. Those that share your dream will come together.
Like attracts like.
Yes, absolutely. Because we're of a certain frequency.
Right, the energies.
So then we attract, you know, we're energy. So we pull each other together and there's a magnetism that happens. You know, whoever comes on the intro weekend and comes on the training, we're supposed to be there. There's no accidents. And so they create their own field of energy and grow each other and get very connected and support each other. Because looking at yourself and transforming your life, we need to do it as a circle,
mm-hmm.
as a hoop. We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need the mirrors. You need the compassion, you need the empathy, and you also need those loving challenges that say, hey, you know, and to call you forward in a loving way, never in diminishments.
It really, this kind of deep work cannot be done individually.
No, it can't.
No.
No. Because a true measure, one of the true measures of being awake is being awake around your family, right?
Yes. Do you want to say more about that, Rita? Feel free to.
I like what you were saying.
And who's your family?
We can earlier of I think I'm going to one of those places where I'm beyond words, but
give it a moment.
Yes. No, you were speaking about at work and how one of the jobs of leadership is to look at the energy that's trying to come forth from a larger or a higher perspective.
Yes.
And that's where I feel, when you said that, I feel like that's exactly what's going on with us humans right now.
Yes.
There is an energy that's trying to manifest.
Yes.
And it is, my read on it, is energy of cooperation.
Yes, it is.
And the real true day-to-day working reality that if I hurt you, I hurt myself.
Absolutely.
Because you are me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just between humans. I know I'm speaking to the choir here in some ways, but it's between all beings and all material that's manifest here on this
absolutely.
This earth home.
Absolutely.
And that's what has been so out of balance in the culture that I was raised in the culture that my ancestors brought here to Turtle Island, is objectifying the other entities that are here.
And yet we have an opportunity to learn so much.
It's a good
now, given where we've come from.
It's a good place we're at.
Yes, it is.
It's exciting.
Yes, there's a lot of energy and momentum. The awakening is happening globally in all different expressions.
In many traditions, too.
Yeah, in all different expressions. Life will sustain. Life is sacred, and it is incredibly powerful.
And it doesn't end.
No.
It doesn't cease to exist.
I got to correct something I was just putting out there, that it's not all people that came from Europe to Turtle Island were out of balance.
Correct.
And the ones that tend to get focused on, in my mind, because it is one of the habits that I need to reprogram, are the ones that were out of balance. But there's always been balanced people.
Yes,
people.
Always.
Oh, sure. In Europe, there were indigenous cultures. The Celtic tradition is regrouping now.
Yeah.
And very strong. And there's so many similarities. But what I like about these teachings, I really do, is that they're so inclusive. And I believe it's Iroquois as well. And I think of the Constitution. Our Constitution is based on the Iroquois teachings that deep wisdom.
Right.
You know, it's Mayan, Iroquois, you said Toltec, did you say?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's for the people.
Exactly.
It's for the people. The training that I just completed.
What was that?
The Black Lodge training. And that was after the Council Guide training.
What's that?
The Black Lodge?
Yes.
The Black Lodge
that
training.
Sounds very interesting.
Yes. It's a training of four different masteries and working with energy at a high level in order to honor life. It's all about guarding life. And how are we as humans guarding the sanctity of life, and how do I, in my walk, in every moment, contribute to life? To life. To the sanctity of life. And so that particular group is an international group. And half of us were from the United States. The other half were from Germany, Ireland, Scotland, the UK, Austria, Denmark. And because Wind Eagle and Rainbow Hawk teach in Europe quite a bit, and so does White Eagle. These programs are happening in Turkey and Denmark, all the places that I named. And so we came together over the last 2 years, every 6 months, for 2 weeks, and really did some deep work and looking into contributing to, like I said, the sacred dream of life. And when I emphasize life, I'm speaking about God. I'm talking about Great Spirit. That is life. And so what is the sacred dream of life? And how do we contribute to the healing of the hoop? and being dedicated to that and having a stake in the ground. What are you staked to? I am staked to guarding life. I mean, as people who are familiar with Sundance, that's what a Sundancer is, and a pipe carrier, is that you are staked to life and honoring life and honoring that tree. And so Black Lodge is another round of training beyond the council guide training at an even higher level of accountability and working at even a bigger level of working with the energies to bring wholeness and healing in our walk as human beings.
It's never ending.
No, it's never ending.
Now, is there a White Lodge as well? And
yes,
Yellow
there are.
Lodge?
Yes, there
so
is.
They correspond with the four directions.
Yes, yes. The council guide training is considered the Red Lodge. And then there's the Black Lodge. And then there's the White and the Yellow Lodge, or the Gold Lodge. Those two are the highest level of training, which is the keepership training, where you would go into apprenticeship with White Eagle. And that is after the Black Lodge. And so that's for people who are going to live their whole life in bringing this bundle forward. This specific tradition.
Yeah. These medicines. This medicine.
This, yes, this specific tradition.
So it's just a matter of, you're evolving into each level. If you choose to.
Yes. Yes.
And I guess one builds on another.
Yes.
And wherever you are is your point of contribution.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Immense contribution.
Yes. For the council guide training that we're offering, we have, we just put up a website. And the website is CGT.
Sam, where did you get that from? CGT, my initial CGT.
California.com. And California is spelled out.
Ah, so it's CGT, California.com.
Yes, and that talks about the council guide training.
And the Delicate Lodge teachings and
yes,
how they
and the,
branch out.
No, it just talks about the council guide. To learn more about the Delicate Lodge teachings, you can go to dancehammers.com, and it's one word.
One word.
And you can also go to, of course, the Ihama Institute. Windeagle and Rainbow Hawk are the founders of the Ihama, and White Eagle, who trained under Windeagle and Rainbow Hawk, is from Dance Hammers.
Ah.
So
did she start the Dance Hammers?
Yes, White Eagle.
Ah. I trained years ago with Eddie Hama when they moved from Big Sur. And I'm just
up
amazed.
At
yes, at Wintry. Yeah. The first 20 count. So I'm somewhat familiar with that. So, Rita, we're going to have to end in 5 minutes.
Yes.
So what do you want to say by way of ending here?
What do I want to say?
Yeah,
maybe you can ask
about
me a question.
These
help
teachings.
Me out here.
What wants to come through? And I just want to let you know that my friend Art George's words keep coming through to me that it's time for the masculine to hold space and listen to the feminine. So
that's a challenge for you, my friend. For the three of us, well, the two of us, Rita.
So I'm going to listen for the last 5 minutes.
You usually listen very deeply. So do you. I'm teasing.
What would I want to say?
What wants to come through?
What has been your gem through these teachings? Are there maybe more than just one?
Is fully realizing. I mean, there's on one level, the human knows that they're part of the universe. But fully realizing the oneness and the connection and the sanctity of the human. The benevolence for yourself and how you meet yourself, how you care for yourself truly feeds life. And you can come from a place of never judge and never shame. And then when you do, you never judge and you never shame. And there's always that next ring out is life. Mother life is benevolence. And that we're all learning, and that we're all on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a sacred purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody contributes to the collective.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a right to be whole and to be complete. Mm-hmm. And to feel love. Mm-hmm. To recognize their own personal power.
Mm-hmm.
To contribute and to create beauty in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the distinguishing characteristics of a human being from the other relatives, is that mm-hmm. we get to create beauty yeah. in the world. What is the impact? Wherever we go, whenever we're working on the land and going to different places, we always create beauty and leave every place we touch brighter than when we got there.
Yeah.
And so any room that I walk into or any interactions that I have, I want to create beauty. And I invite you to check us out. Check out the website. Find your own beauty through this council way, through the mm-hmm. Delicate Lodge teachings, through yoga, through dance, through drumming.
Mm-hmm.
But to look into that mirror and to recognize your divinity.
Mm-hmm.
To claim your divinity.
I love your use of the word divinity.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes feel when I say God, not creator, but God, there's a separation.
Mm-hmm.
When I say divinity, I can own it.
Yeah.
There's a softness to it. It goes in more easily.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it was very consciously chosen. Yeah.
When we were speaking earlier about being the physical manifestations of light,
mm-hmm.
we are divine expressions of life.
Ah.
So every person that you look at is a divine expression.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you see? What do you want to see?
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing the looking? Who's doing the measuring?
Mm-hmm. The individual.
Are you a conscious dreamer?
I'm working on it.
I want to consciously dream. And I want
yeah.
to use all of my heart and my love to mm-hmm. dance to that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Round after round after round.
Yeah. Thank you, Rita.
Oh.
Ho. Oh. And the introduction to the teachings is going to be, again,
July,
the dates.
July 28th.
July 28th.
Through August 1st.
It's my birthday.
Cool. And that's also on the cgtcalifornia.com website.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Rita. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Well, what a pleasure meeting you, sister.
Me too. Thank you.
Yes.
Until next time.
Yes.
Until next time.
We'll keep having you on.
Okay.
All right, let's see what we've got lined up here.
We'll let her play music. I brought my guitar, Cindy.
Do you want to play something?
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
started. I'll call Anne Marie.
You call Anne Marie, but
go
I
ahead.
Don't know if they can. Oh, here we are.
What is it? Thomas is going to play.
I think this is really apropos. This is the newest song.
Oh, Rita.
Up above Highway 1, I watch the setting of the sun. Amongst the poppies, plantain, and grass, I find a place and I park my ass. As I find a place and park my ass.
Sediment here. Old ocean bottom. Bones of the mother. Living rock.
No element in landscape seems common ground. No element in landscape seems sacred ground placed by Creator's hands. Sacred ground placed by Creator's hands. Sacred ground shaped by Creator's hands. Sacred ground shaped by Creator's hands. Sacred ground shaped by Creator's hands. I kneeled down upon the earth and pressed my forehead to the dirt. In a voice both loud and clear, no one around. In a voice both loud and clear, no one around, yet Spirit hears. No one around, Spirit hears. Pledged myself to Mother Earth. Use me as you know my worth. Use me as you know my worth. Look around me, what do I see? There's nothing here that isn't me. Sun, earth, air, water. Sun, earth, air, water.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
Have you play again. Anne Marie Sayers has just called in, and she's our next guest. And Anne Marie is an amazing woman. She is California native. She's Mutsen Ohlone, and she's the director of the Coast Indian Research Center, and that's in Hollister. And she's going to be talking about the Ohlone Presence. It's a fundraiser. It's an evening of storytelling, theater, and song from Ohlone land in history. And let me put her on right now. Anne Marie, are you with us?
I'm right here.
Hi.
Cindy. How are you?
Welcome.
And what a beautiful song, Element Song.
That was Thomas.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie.
I'll tell you, all the elements, air, earth, wind, fire.
Mm-hmm. Air, earth, water, fire.
That was
atmosphere.
And the sun is fire, but also the sun.
Accurate.
I got to tell you, Emery, I can see a photograph of you in my mind's eye because you gave a talk at the Wilder Ranch a ways back, and the title of your talk, including the newsletter, was "We Are Still Here."
We are still
true.
Here, and I remember that vividly.
Yeah, I wasn't there, but I had the thought to be there, so I've been waiting since then to actually meet you, and I still don't get to do it in person yet, but thank you so much for appreciating that song, and it was on that Wilder Ranch land, and we are still here.
Yeah.
Very much so. You're a testimony to that. And your land, it's the only land in California, indigenous land, that you have title, it's your ancestral land and you have title to it. Isn't that correct?
Well, it's the only federally recognized Indian country for 350 miles along coastal California that is still held by the descendants of the original people that have been here. We can document 4,600 years, but I say we've been here since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And we've opened up my great-grandfather's trust allotment to all indigenous people whom are in need of traditional lands for ceremony. And I'll tell you, it's just a mile-long canyon. It's a very narrow canyon, but it is extremely powerful.
It certainly is. And how many acres is it?
It's a little bit less than 1,000. But there's only 123 that's actually in trust, and then my great-grandfather's 156 acres the trust patent was issued in 1911 by President Taft. It was an presidential executive order.
And you can truly feel the ancestral spirits on that land. It's very much alive.
every day, in every direction I look, I communicate with the light that surrounds me.
Yeah.
Let it be a coastal live oak tree, ferns, a poison oak.
Well, that I could do without, but...
A buckeye tree, a sycamore tree, or it's bracken ferns, there's sword ferns, there's maidenhair. And right now, it's so green.
Thank goodness, and that's rare.
And the water is flowing.
Oh, Anne-Marie, I'm so glad to hear that.
So am I.
That's precious. One of the precious. They're all precious, but it's scarce on that land sometimes.
Water is the blood of the earth, and to have water flowing down the waterfall and the creek, it's what I live for.
Yeah, just the sound of it. And that beautiful waterfall, and with the waterfall that falls over that, what I call pregnant-looking rock.
It's a solid granite seal.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, I can hear that you haven't taken me every place in Indian Canyon yet, Cindy.
You were just there once. He was in a rush to go home.
Well, then...
Well, you had commitments, but I wanted to introduce you to Anne-Marie. Yeah. He'll be down.
We swung by your house, but you weren't home, Anne-Marie.
Your mansion. Log cabin mansion. No electricity.
There are many mansions.
It's all self-powered. It's beautiful. Absolutely rich. I'm just... How do you say water in your language?
Rama. It's not just H2O. Rama is the movement of the water. It's the sound of the water. It is the creek that contains the water. It's one and inseparable. It's just not H2O water, as in the English language, but it is the movement and the sound and the creek that contains the water that it goes through. Rama. It's a beautiful word.
And you know what's so special about your land, too, is it is a canyon, and everything echoes the sounds of nature, and you can see the stars clearly at night. There's no artificial lighting. I can hear the coyote, yep, yep, yep. You can hear the rustling in the leaves of the red-tailed fox there.
It's really exciting right now that we're working on. We're putting up a healing pole, and the healing pole is between 600 to 800 years old. It is carved by a world-renowned wood carver, Tonu Shane Eagleton. And it's carved in a double helix, so it's like the DNA of all life. And it is about 3.5 tons. And it is exquisitely lovely. And as you mentioned earlier, we're having a fundraiser. And in addition, we're building a Tukumtuk group, which is our roundhouse. And we're having a fundraiser at the David Bowers Center. Have you been to the David Bowers Center?
I haven't. That's in Berkeley.
It is it is so green. It is unbelievable. I'll tell you, the concrete walls are made of 60-70% of it is slag. You know, the carpets are squares so that if you spill something, you just pull up that little square and replace it. They have a cistern that collects rainwater that they use for their toilets.
Wow.
You know, and everything is solar. You push a button and a panel comes up and it'll tell you exactly how much solar is being used every hour of the day.
Gosh.
Their auditorium, they have a beautiful gallery there. They're located at 2150 Alston Way. And it's right off of Oxford by the university. And their auditorium is all made out of bamboo. So you really don't...
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it replenishes itself so rapidly that it's the tenants are greener. I mean, Robert Redford has an office there.
Wow. You know? Now I know what you mean by green.
Very, very green, I'll tell you.
There is one thing that I don't know yet. When is this fundraiser?
May 8th,
this
8
coming
p.m.
Saturday.
Oh.
And it's from 8 o'clock to about 10:30. We'll have hors d'oeuvres and, you know, some form of spirits are liquid. And it is just really exciting.
And Amory, who's going to be there?
Well, Malcolm Margolin, it is, you know, he has, it's being sponsored by the Sacred Land Film Project and the David Bowers Center, and is being presented by the Free Land Project and the News from Native California and Heyday Books.
Wow.
And Malcolm Margolin is with News from California. And he matches Heyday Books as the publisher that he has. And what's really kind of fun about it is that there'll be four non-native people that will be sharing sacred space and place, and there'll be four native storytellers that will be sharing sacred space and place. And I really want to see the difference between the two.
What do you imagine you'll see?
It's just really, I don't know if you've ever seen Ariel Lucky.
I did. Wasn't he there last year at the Storytelling Festival, the young man?
No, he's singing. Not here in Indian Canyon?
I thought that's who he was.
No, there was
a friend of Canyon's. No, I haven't seen him then.
Oh, he's absolutely marvelous.
He's
a non-native person that really connects with the soil where he's on, and he did incredible research with his genealogy, where they came from, and then where he lives now in Berkeley. And talk about theater! He's truly amazing.
What is he going to be presenting?
His take and his research that he did on the land that he is on, discovering that it was a Lone territory after layers and layers and decades and centuries of it not being a Lone territory until it gets to the bottom, where he hits a Lone territory. And his awakening that the ancestral spirits are still here. His reality that he was under the impression that, you know, his ancestors got a homestead and that it was free land. And then he went full circle. And he does it in such an amazing, he keeps you at the edge of your seat, quite frankly. He's just, but some of the, Malcolm Margolin is going to be telling a story about sacred space. And then we have Toby McLeod.
Yeah.
He has a Sacred Land Film Project.
That's, yes, I want to know more about that.
Oh, it's just, he produces films about sacred land. And he's doing In Search of Reverence. Oh, excuse me, no, In the Light of Reverence. He did produce that, and he's doing an 8 TV series about sacred lands globally that are being lost. And this is in Australia, in Papua New Guinea, in Africa, in here in California, and I was fortunate enough to have viewed 5 that he has completed, and you're in tears. It's just
5 sacred sites he's already documented.
Yes, and he's the 6th one that he's working on right now is in Papua New Guinea.
Wow.
And it's really quite. We're in a society that is absent of the sacred, more so than not, and it's hard to badmouth someone who doesn't understand what sacredness is, or they're absent of the sacred when they don't know truly what sacredness is outside of the sacredness of money, which seems to be the capitalistic perspective.
Well, what you're talking about to me ties in with you giving us that word Rama
for water, that it doesn't just mean H2O, it means movement, sound in the creek bed. Mm-hmm. And the thing about English that's so good is it's so good at compartmentalizing things, which makes things easy to manipulate, but it doesn't encompass all the reality behind everything that's here, because everything is sacred. But the sacred aspect of things gets edited out, and the focus gets to be on the capitalistic money aspect of it, and forgetting about the sounds, the web of life, etc., etc. So, I wouldn't to badmouth is not the point. It's to wake up. Come on, wake up. Remember.
Well, the English language can be limiting in that respect. It doesn't allow for exploration of something, and to feel it's what it is, be it water. You label it water and you can't go anywhere with it. It doesn't invite further exploration and relationship. Mm. Whereas Rama, was that the word?
Rama.
The accent does. Rama.
Well, and here we are in English speaking about all these other aspects. So actually you can go places in English, but the focus has been to separate and compartmentalize and
forget about
the sacred.
But you have to add that many
sacred.
More words.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
What it is, we are all related.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We are all a part of. And my daughter, she's an artist. She's a full-time student now at the Art AI, Art Institute of California.
Mm-hmm.
And what an artist.
She did a beautiful piece. It's a holon. And
oh, what?
A holon.
What's that?
It's a hole, and then it's two different pieces that go perfectly together that make one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite exquisite. But getting back to the storytelling that's in the theater taking place in Berkeley Saturday.
Thomas and I have a tendency to go off, particularly today. You know me, I like to stay on topic.
No,
we've been all over the map.
It's
been fun.
Fantastic. I love it.
Are you going to be telling stories up there, Emery?
You know, I may tell a story.
Oh, good.
I may tell a story, but the foremost story is how important it is to get the healing pole up and to continue working on our roundhouse.
Yeah.
Because I want to see that happen in my lifetime.
Hmm.
But we also have Melissa Nelson,
who's
Ojibwe. She's a professor at San Francisco State University, Dr. Nelson. And an amazing intellectual, and she is an incredible storyteller.
And doesn't she work with the Cultural Conservancy?
She's the director of the Cultural Conservancy at the Presidio, that is correct, yes. And she's one of our storytellers.
A storyteller in her own right.
to share what sacred place and space. She said, oh, and Marie, all I have to do is talk about Indian Canyon. She has literally brought in excess of 1,000 students over the last several years down to the canyon that are taking Native American Studies program. And then we've had a couple of interns, several interns here from their Native American classes there at San Francisco State. And then we have Ken Brower.
And isn't he the son of David Brower?
That is correct. Cindy, you've been doing your homework.
I have.
I'm impressed. I am impressed.
Well,
he's an
try.
Author. And he will... Now, Tom, are you familiar with David Brower?
I'm familiar only through the ethers, and I do use the two syllables. I'm now Thomas. I used to be Tom.
Oh, excuse me.
No, that's Thomas. Okay. It's okay, because you just gave me an opportunity to ask for what I want, which is in my second half a hundred years going around the sun, I'm starting out as Thomas. I'm going to end up as being an old man who laughs a lot, but I have to wait a while for that.
He's dignified.
I love it. Okay, Thomas.
He's not that old.
Was the original...
It's a good thing, elder.
The original executive director for the Sierra Club.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he split off.
He was wonderful.
Didn't he split off for a reason?
He did.
Yes, he did. And he started the Earth Island Institute.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his son is quite a writer, and he's going to share a story about a sacred space,
mm-hmm.
a place.
Mm-hmm.
But we have Willie Underbaggage, who's Ogallala.
Now, who is he?
He's Ogallala, a native person who leads sweat. He pours water. He's a lodge leader.
Mm-hmm.
He leads sweat lodges, and he's on the Red Road, following the native path of his ancestors, and he brought down a number of young men from the Oakland area, and one of the individuals, his brother, was shot by a gang related activity, and he wanted retaliation, and they thought that the only way that they could prevent this outburst was to introduce them to the sweat lodge, and so they came down for several days and camped out here, and every day was a sweat lodge and it helped tremendously. They were able to go back to their home in Oakland, and that desire for retaliation had lessened tremendously, so they can go forward in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the healing of the ceremonies in the land there.
And the teachings that were taught by Willie Underbaggage and some of his colleagues. And so he's going to share a story about sacred place. And then we also have Janine Antoine.
Now, she hosts her own show, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
On KPFA.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name? It's on Wednesday afternoons. I was able to listen to it a couple of years ago, but my schedule doesn't allow that anymore.
No, she's very good. And
she is.
She's an incredible art director, collector of arts, and promoter of particularly Native artists.
Mm-hmm.
And she's absolutely an amazing woman. Really an amazing woman, and her, I believe she's from the Pine Ridge Reservation, and every winter she brings her mother out here. She lives in Oakland, in Piedmont, and her mother is here for three, four months, and makes clothes, you know, so for the family when her mother goes back to the res, and Janine always brings her up, and it's such a treat.
Wow.
You know, she's an amazing, amazing elder.
Hmm.
And so she'll be sharing some stories.
Yeah.
And we also have L. Frank, who is an incredible artist.
Who is he?
Pardon me?
Who, L. Frank?
Correct. She's an author, and she serves on many nonprofit boards that help with our mother, you know, with the earth, and she's an amazing, amazing artist. And she said, "Well, Anne Marie, I don't really tell stories, but I can sing."
Well, that's always necessary.
You know, my mother believed that when you stop singing and the ceremony stops, so does the earth.
Yeah.
And so the continuation of ceremonies and songs and dancing is extremely important. And I feel so lucky here in the canyon with my neighbors. I know the Garina family, Joe, and Tom and Pat. You know, they help maintain this canyon, and they truly are keepers of this canyon. And I'm one of the luckiest people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You are, Anne Marie, and I consider that home, and I know many others do as well. Just walking onto that land is...
You become a part of.
Yeah.
You become with.
Everything else just drops.
Mm-hmm. You become
that isn't necessary.
We also have Paloma Pavel, and she was one of the non-native individuals that Malcolm Margolin had invited, and she's with Earth House Center.
And what is that?
You know, I'm not familiar with it. I'm not familiar with Earth House Center, but she apparently tells amazing stories about sacred sites and places.
Mm.
And we have Carl Anthony, who works in the East Bay area with the youth, and he's done incredible work, and he'll be sharing some sacred sites and places.
Boy, it's going to be a rich evening.
I'll tell you.
With music and amazing stories and people. And is Malcolm going to be showing any of his documentaries or talking about the creation?
No, he's going to be sharing stories. He'll be helping host the event, both with Ariel Lucky and myself, as far as introducing the storytellers. And then Kenya's going to sing the grandmother's song.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm.
I heard her last weekend at the Indian Market. She opened with a song.
I really connect with my grandmother.
Amazing.
When she sings, it goes right through me.
She surprised me. She seemed like a little girl at one point, then she was a young teenager, and now an amazing woman.
I am one of the luckiest mothers in the world. Right now, she is doing the program. She's printing up the program. So, Tom, when are you going to come to the canyon?
Thomas will arrive at the canyon. I got a chance to sit in the lodge with the woman who on
Rachel.
Third Saturdays of the month.
That was Rachel.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was a blessing for all animals, and so I'd like to come down then. And am I interpreting what you're saying as an open invitation, Anne Marie? To come to the canyon?
By all means, let me know.
By all means, okay, I'll get your
Bring his guitar, I guess.
Information. But I have been thinking about your canyon. I'm actually studying with a shaman here in Santa Cruz, and we're going to do a vision quest sometime this summer, and I don't know the location. There are several places that he was gone in the past, but also your place, because there was a man at that lodge that was talking about doing, what's the Lakota term for vision quest?
Humblecha.
Yeah, and I forget that man's name. But anyways, just as soon as possible, Anne-Marie, to answer the question simply, coming to Indian Canyon myself.
Excellent. When you are here, definitely come up to the cabin to sign my guest book.
Well, I will do so.
Excellent. And so, Cindy, if you can make it, and everyone listening, I definitely want to invite you this Saturday between, it starts at 8 o'clock. Tickets will be available at the door. It's $15 to $25. It is a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on a sliding scale. No one is turned away. And it's at the David Brower Center, 2150 Alston Way in Berkeley, California.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I would really like to have everyone Google the David Brower Center.
Yeah.
It is impressive.
Mm-hmm. What about for those of us who may not be able to make it there Saturday night? Is there a way to make a donation for the fundraiser for Works in Indian Canyon without actually migrating to Berkeley or pilgrimaging?
By all means.
How would one go about doing that?
It would be write out a check for Costanoan Indian Research. That's Costanoan Indian Research. It's a 501c3, so it is tax deductible. And just Indian Canyon, P.O. Box 28, Hollister, California, 95024.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you can check out our website, which is Indian Canyon, www.indiancanyon.org. And then my email is ams@indiancanyon.org.
And Anne Marie, is there any place online where you can get information about the fundraiser, Ohlone Presence, specifically?
Yes, you can go to IndianCanyon.org.
All right.
And just click it on, and then you have the address and the Ohlone presence. And, an evening of storytelling, theater, and song from Ohlone land and history that's taken place in incredibly, the most green building I've ever been in, outside of the just log cabin there that I live in.
Oh, yeah, it goes without saying. And I just want to ask you, how did this come together?
The David Brower Center opened up, I believe it was, as a matter of fact, it was exactly 1 year ago, May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So it opened up May 8th, 2009. And a number of the people that are tenants there, particularly, Toby, with the Toby McLeod with the Sacred Land Film Project,
mm-hmm.
and Amy Tobin, and she's the director there, and I guess Lisa Faye, who is the events coordinator, they did not feel, they felt something absent. They didn't feel that connected, and it was probably Lisa and Toby that really said, we have to have a blessing.
Ah.
I cannot tell you how honored I felt when they asked if I would do a blessing to connect with the ancestral spirits on where that particular building is located.
Mm-hmm.
And a creek runs right beside it underneath that has been channeled, underground.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some recorded archaeological sites right in that vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was very, very moving. It was, you really did connect with the ancestral spirits at that event. And what was very interesting is that there were perhaps 70, 80 people there, of which maybe the directors of every tenant that was there formed a circle after everyone had smudged and or purified themselves with sage. And then they just said the name of the company that they represent, their nonprofit, and shared what they did, and all of a sudden everyone knew each other.
Uh-huh.
Whereas that connection, that alone, had not even transpired after a year being in the building.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, so the connection that was made, I believe, acknowledging the ancestors on whose land you were on,
mm-hmm.
has gone forward just in such an incredibly beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. Kind of wakes them up to the reality of where they are and who they are and who they're with.
Exactly. Exactly that, Cindy.
Yeah.
You've got it. Exactly,
yeah.
That. So, I do want to invite everyone this Saturday between, it starts at 8 o'clock. It's located at the David Brower Center.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely Google David Brower Center.
Yeah.
It's impressive. Mm-hmm. At 2150 Alston Way in Berkeley.
And what I also want to ask is, how did this particular gathering come together? Whose idea? For the fundraiser.
All these
individuals coming together for the poll.
Okay, no, I'm not sure if I understand your question.
How did the gathering come to this fundraiser come together this evening on May 8th?
Who perceived a need for funding for projects down in Indian Canyon? The roundhouse sounds really intriguing, and also raising that pole, which I did see laying upon the ground when we were there a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
So there was a need for some energy in monetary form to come to Indian Canyon, and all of a sudden you have this auspicious 1 year anniversary fundraiser at the Brower Center. So, how did that come about?
Whose idea
it was the spirits.
Uh-huh.
How it came together was I did the blessing for the building,
mm-hmm.
and Amy Tobin said, Anne Marie, in return for doing the blessing, she gave me an envelope with a beautiful letter that said, "We would like to invite you to use our auditorium for a fundraiser for Indian Canyon."
How beautiful.
And I just thought, how fantastic. When I read the 10-page contract that they sent, that they waived the $1,200 fee,
mm-hmm.
but for nonprofits, I think it's like 50% off or something of that nature, I was just, I said, whoa, what a gift this happens mm-hmm. to be. And then I went to an event, and that Ariel Lucky was performing La Pena in Berkeley, mm-hmm. and he was just so amazing. I shared with him that I had this gift, and I asked him if he would like to perhaps work with me and share the Ohlone aspect on whose land, you know, Berkeley happens to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And he just jumped on it. He said, yes. And he has all the contacts. He's young. He's alive. He has put a lot of work into making this come about. And I was at a Google workshop when they were sharing with indigenous people from all over the world how to use Android cell phone. And Malcolm Margolin was there, and I shared with him that we were going to have a fundraiser, and he just said, "Well, Anne-Marie, now if you ask me to help you with a fundraiser, I would invite so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so," which he became a part of. And so it is the combination of the Brower Center, Toby McLeod with the Sacred Land Film Project, Ariel Lucky with the Free Land Project, and the Canyon, all sharing.
Wow. So it just sort of came together.
It was the
kind of coalesced
spirit
to
that brought
meant,
the
yeah.
people together that yeah. were meant to make this happen. Yes.
Wow.
And it's just like you, Cindy and Thomas, it's getting the word out there so
yeah.
people will be a part of it's magic.
Yes, and it's going to be in 2 days.
Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Storytelling Festival at the Canyon coming up in June.
That is correct, June 19th, and that will be our 14th annual California Indian Storytelling. And we'll have both California Indian storytellers, we'll have...
dancers.
The dancers, the Patrick, are the Humaya dancers, which mm-hmm. is the Pajaro Valley, and the Amakatura dancers, which is the Pajaro Valley native peoples, and then we have the Humaya dancers, which is the Rumsean
mm-hmm.
Dancers, all Ohlone peoples. And we have some incredible storytellers here at our storytelling. But it's... full of storytelling stories. Telling stories.
And music and food and natural beauty. And a chance to walk that land.
That'll be the 19th of June.
A Saturday.
A Saturday from 1 o'clock until perhaps around 6. But then they'll be drumming and dancing afterwards. And so
I know. It always goes on later.
It'll be wet as long as you want it to be.
And it's so welcoming. And are there going to be any bear dancers there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we usually close it with the Humaya dancers, and there will be there'll be a healing mm-hmm. dance for all.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I've been many times, and I look forward to it every year.
That's when?
June 19th.
But no. I mean, that question you asked me earlier, when are you coming down to Indian Canyon, Thomas?
Oh, he'll be down.
That's when.
Oh, I love that. I love it. That'll be great.
It sounds wonderful. And I was telling Cindy when we came down a couple months ago that it's been years that I've been on my way to Indian Canyon because my neighbor, Danny, and his partner, Sherry, used to...
Oh, she knows.
Come and Sherry's a sun dancer and water pourer for lodges, and
Danny asked me many times if I wanted to come down to a lodge in Indian Canyon, and I just didn't have the time. Didn't have the time, and I'm so glad that my life is freeing itself up a little bit more these days.
Well, Thomas, what it amounts to is you end up participating in sweat lodges, particularly here in the canyon, when you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready yet.
Mm-hmm. Timing is when you know it's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he knows where you are. I don't think you were there that day either.
Mm-mm.
I'm not sure.
We swung by the house, and I just got to say, you are really a lively person behind that photograph, Anne Marie.
Oh, she is.
I'm not sure what photograph you're...
Well, there was a photograph in the docent newsletter for Wilder Ranch State Park, and you have a hat on. And it looks like you're saying something. I'll have to bring that photograph down and show it to you because I saved the piece of paper. Because I love that sentiment in the caption, "We are still here." Mm-hmm. That all that energy, all that knowledge, it hasn't been lost whatsoever. Yeah. It never was lost. It's always been here, and it's always going to be here.
You know, Thomas, I'll tell you... A lot of people will say the ceremonies and knowledge has been lost, but no, perhaps it's been dormant,
mm-hmm.
and it's been dormant with good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Native peoples did not get the right to practice their religion freely until 1979,
mm-hmm.
with the American Indian Religious Freedom Act of 1979,
mm-hmm.
and so... Well, when you cannot practice your religion, our way of being freely, you still practice it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but it's just not done in the open.
Mm-hmm.
With good reason,
yeah.
particularly with the possibility of possibly either being killed or being taken to prison, and let's just say it's very restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And so. Oh, I will tell you, today is the best time for a California Indian to be alive since contact.
Yeah. It's true.
And it's because of people like you.
It's safe again.
There's a freedom now that never existed for California Indians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is... Yeah, the best time since contact,
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
a California Indian to be alive.
When you say that since contact, I cannot remember the man's name, and I don't know if you've heard him speak, but he's an archaeologist for the state parks people. He told this brilliant first contact story that made the hair on the back of my neck rise up when I heard him speak, and it would do well to listen to him, but that first contact and then... Malcolm Margolin's book, The Way We Were, and also a man named Two Hoops, who I've been in Sweat Lodge with, who's very, very serious and almost militantly serious, actually militantly serious about maintaining an aura of sanctity about the Sweat Lodge and saying that, hey, a lot of people died to keep this alive. Mm-hmm. So this is really, let's do them right. And the Way We Were, that book that Malcolm compiled, some of the stories about how people were treated, the hiding out, but never dying. We are still here. I just love that caption. We are still here.
That spirit and that truth that comes from the land and the ancestors will never die.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to build and build, and it comes through the people today. And
mm-hmm.
it's so strong on that land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see it come alive literally every day.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I check myself before I come onto the land every time because I know its power, and I need to be in true heart before I go forward onto the land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even my friend Art George, who we were speaking with earlier, Washoe man, he was the one who really woke me up to the idea of asking permission to be on the land of from those who walked here before me. And it's really it's something that has stuck with me since he taught me that, and it strikes me right now that I could do that each and every morning.
Yes.
Thomas, I'll tell you, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do, and it doesn't make any difference if I do so here in the canyon and or if I'm in Paris or in if Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. I will offer a little tobacco to the earth, and I would just say, ancestors on whose land I am on, please guide me and with my actions and my words so they will honor you, the ancestors on whose land I am on.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when I don't take the time to do it, something will happen during the day that will remind me.
Uh-oh, I forgot to
You taught me
morning.
That, Anne Marie.
I'll tell you.
The same experience. Oh, boy.
Okay, yeah. Cindy, Thomas, I really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh,
so
thank you
very,
so
very
much, Anne Marie. And I wish I could be there Saturday night, but I've agreed to work.
You want to give us the download of what where it's at one more time, Anne-Marie, for those who might have missed it?
Yeah, it's at they're at the David Brower Center in Berkeley. It's on 2150 Alston Way, and it is starts at 8 o'clock. And in storytelling and theater and song will go on until 10. And then afterwards, we'll have little finger dishes and wine and water, I believe, some form of liquid.
Some form of Rama.
Rama, water. A form of Rama, exactly, will be available and as our guest.
Excellent.
And it should be good.
Excellent. It sounds wonderful.
It certainly does.
But definitely Google the David Brower stuff.
Yeah.
It is green.
Gosh, and the cast of characters that you have presenting is amazing.
Oh, boy.
Janine Antoine.
I'm in good company, I'll tell you that.
Malcolm Margolin, Toby McLeod, yep. Ariel Lucky, Ken Brower, your daughter singing.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Nelson. Wow.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be seeing you shortly.
Okay.
I'll be coming down to the canyon real soon.
It's been my pleasure, Thomas. Cindy, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Anne-Marie, as always.
Thank you.
Blessing.
All right. Thank you.
Later.
Bye-bye.
And remember, if you can't make it up to Berkeley and you want to make a donation, you can do so by writing a check out to the Kosanoan Indian Research and then mail it off to
Dean Research Center.
Research Center. Yeah, very good. Don't forget the center part.
No.
We are all at the center. And the Kosanoan Indian Research Center, Kosanoan is Kostanoan. And then send it off to Indian Canyon, P.O. Box 28, Hollister, California, 95062.
Thank you. Do you have a song?
Oh, yeah. I'll just...
I'd love to continue the Elements song.
I think we'll go through the Elements song again, because it's one of those songs that... it's one of those songs that if the rest of the band was here...
the rest of the Elements.
It's... You know how some songs are almost trancing and a meditation and five.
Isn't this?
What's that? Oh. So here we go. Let's see if we can bring this up this time. And when you need to, Cindy, just fade us out or talk over or whatever it is you want to do.
telephone noise in the background here. Hold on one second, folks out there in radio land. That took care of that. So it's all better. It's all better.
Up above Highway 1, I watch the second morning sun. I'm
you, Thomas. It's great to have you co-host again.
It was a pleasure.
It was fun.
Very much a pleasure to be here, and totally fun.
Yes. I hope you all enjoyed listening as well, and I want to thank you. And if you have any extra dinero, please feel free to donate to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM. And they can be donations can be mailed to FRSC PO Box 7811 Santa Cruz 95061. Thanks again for listening. And now I believe, as always, we're going to have Palestinian news. There it is.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Thursday, May 6, 2010. Israeli troops injured 3 civilians during an anti-wall protest in the West Bank and detained 33 others in morning invasions. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Israeli troops injured 3 Palestinian civilians and detained 3 others on Thursday during an anti-wall protest in Al-Walajah village near the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem. Villagers of Al-Walajah, along with international and Israeli supporters, tried to stop military bulldozers from uprooting olive trees to make way for the wall construction. People managed to stop bulldozers by forming a human chain in its path. Israeli troops used pepper spray and batons to move the protesters away. 3 villagers were moved to hospital after sustaining moderate wounds due to the soldiers' attack. Troops also detained 3 Palestinian protesters. Israel resumed work at this section of the wall last month. Villagers say the army bulldozers had uprooted 100 olive trees owned by local farmers so far. Some of those olive trees date back to the Roman era, farmers added. Also on Thursday, Israeli soldiers detained 33 Palestinian civilians during morning invasions targeting West Bank.